Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
You know, I used to tell them that your English has a lot to do with your singing. You cannot be doing come up for your mind. What's the word you did, mad? Blah, blah, blah. Now you now come to sing, you'll be doing, I want to say that I really love you. I've come to say that I really love you. And if you're a teacher, you can really love you. Because, you see, you've been practicing. Have you observed that sometimes you hear Hausa in my intonation? Sometimes, not every time. Like this service now, I was in the spirit of Queen's English. But sometimes, if you observe me carefully, you'll be hearing Hausa. Small. How many of you have observed? Some of you don't know Hausa, so maybe you may not understand what I'm trying to say. Because I've been speaking Hausa too much. Anywhere, Hausa, in fact, I'm so used to Hausa that if somebody is speaking English, sometimes I'll start speaking Hausa. If you just tell me, you just say you grew in Kaduna, I'll start speaking direct because I don't want stress. It's so easy. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just like when you meet a thief man or a thief woman that really knows thief, and you now were speaking English. I don't know if you have been in the situation. Then somehow they now say, what's your name? You say, my name is Tezugwa. I said, who? Ungu TV. You know what they mean by that? You are a TV person. Then they will now say something in TV, and you have been stressing me like this to be speaking English. Meaning to them, English, speaking English is actually stress. You would have allowed them to express themselves in their dialect. That's why I have problem with Hausa. If you just say you know Hausa, Magana Yakari, straight to Hausa. Because I grew up speaking it so fluently, amen, before English came on the way and interrupted my affairs with Hausa. So sometimes if you observe me, you will hear me just, you know, it's the anointing that subjects it sometimes. That's what happens with somebody that speaks vernacular to the core. And he say he wants to do gospel music. You hear people like Dom Wen. This is just an addendum for choir. It's not part of the message. Dom Wen will sing, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. You just be hearing Lord, Lord, Lord. Then you'll be wanting in voice sweet, oh. But if you check it critically, he's just speaking English. That's why the voice is what? Sweet, but carry somebody that grew in railway road and say, I'm so sorry if you grew there. I'm just using you. Okay, let me use barracks because I grew in the barracks. I am the Lord that he led thee. I am the Lord your healer. Do you understand, choir? Did you hear the response? Yes, sir. Do you understand, choir?
Yes, sir.
It's hard, though. English hard. All right, let's get into the word. English choke. You choke. You know, easy at all. Hallelujah. I enjoyed the worship ministration. That's what I was taking style to say. And I feel we have the best choir. Feel. It's my feeling. You can have your own feeling too. Feeling is personal, you know. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we're speaking about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And we quoted Job what? Job what? Now, what was Job trying to tell us? Let me see if some of you in the first service really followed us. If you are in this service and you are doing WhatsApp, Satan is on your head. You are in this service, you are doing Facebook, the devil is under your shirt. Are you here? One proof is that you are doing WhatsApp or Facebook or checking something on Instagram. Oh my God. Let me not explain how deeper the devil is with you. All right. What happened in Genesis 28? What are we trying to compare? Trying to see how that... what was the illustration Job gave? He showed how that a lot of things we can tell the source of it. Alright, sapphire, gold, silver. But he said for God's wisdom. Remember where he used the bed. What parts did he use the bed? Verse what? Eh? Okay, nobody. At the verse what? Yeah. He now used beds. And used one bed. What bed was that? What? What? Fowl. Vulture. Falcon. Okay. Super falcons. Amen. Let me not say anything about our football team. Let's continue. They are wonderful. Is it the falcons have not what? You see, they've not seen. Our own will see in Jesus' name. Then he says, even the vultures, right? What happened? Their eyes cannot what? See. Goes further to explain how that, who can tell the parameters of waters in the sea. Have you ever seen any scientist that measure water, the parameter, diameter? He said, I know the volume, the everything of River Nile. Red Sea, blah blah blah. That's why when he wanted to part it, I mean, he just didn't just. Have you ever heard anybody part Red Sea? Apart from that day, what they are creating is bridge. They've not done. Do you understand? It's civilization, but the one day God just looked at it, make it pass. He just said, "You see how God is great." Yet while worshiping, some people are like. You know, one time we were worshipping God, I told you what happened. We were worshipping it, some people were crying. And the guy was looking at us like this. We're impressing him. He was ashamed for us, probably. I don't know. He sat over there. And he was just looking. So I opened my eye in the middle of the, I was on the ground. I opened my eye and I saw the young man looking at me like this. I was smiling. I thought maybe he has seen God or something. So I closed my eye. I said, let me see for a moment. Maybe he will cry later. I opened my eye. And I said, some of you are watching. Join us worship. He now laughed. Meaning, pastor, I know you are talking to me. I said, you, brother. He said, yeah. I said, stand up and go outside. If it's in the Old Testament, now Moses would have caused you to die. He would have killed you inside. How dare you? Alright? God is so great. Are you all listening to me?
Yes,
do you all understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
one time I was listening to one of my friends in church. They were dancing and worshipping God in church. And one of the people was not dancing. I was listening to someone. He then said, two of you come aside. While people were dancing, you were looking at us. Now, church, sit down. Play a song, let them dance. He said, if you don't dance, get out from this church. I said, which kind of brutal pastor is this one? But that's how the training should be. Because some of you, when you come to church, you assume too much. You take assumptions. You know they call assumptions in the military? You have tendency to misbehave. And when you go to your classes, I've said that several times, some of you don't do like that. You have younger lecturers that you can even come and hold their backs for A. Some of you is not even A, D. You just want to pass. You know, in church, right, when we want to teach you wisdom, we don't beat you to teach you wisdom. You know, we don't hit you. We have to just teach you wisdom by talking. Alright? And speaking to you. Alright? And that is why some, you know, people, that, if you observe, human beings find it difficult to accept wisdom when you are very lenient. Have you people observed that? When you are very lenient with them, it is difficult to receive wisdom. But when you are brutal, some sort of you find out that they are receiving wisdom. That's why most parents have learned that the only way to train a child, you know, the way they interpret that scripture is not the way that it is. It is not all to the interpretation. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The full interpretation is not just tied to flogging a child. You know, one time I was thinking that it should just be authority. But if you look at it, it is more than just exhibiting authority with your words. Hand is involved. Because if they say spare the rod and spoil the child, it means your scepter of authority. It could be a name, an office, a position. But people that are in high position, they have what we call law enforcement agencies. Like the soldiers. For instance, when I was coming to church this morning, I observed that they were beating one civilian like us. Me and my wife. So she was like, what is happening? They carried the boy, beat him, carry him and throw him inside the bush. When he fell, they were just throwing the boy. Carry him out and were hitting him. So she was, what is happening here? So I smiled. I said, I'm not a wicked person, but I know the guy has really committed a sin. For soldiers to catch him every morning on Sunday, if you hear what he has done, you'll be so amazed. Even though I'm not happy they are beating him, you may be so shocked. He stole somebody's phone. He did something terrible. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why probably they were beating him like that. If you see how humble he looked, move! He was moving. I had to slow down when he was crossing the road. But if he was not handled like that, amen? Even if they caught him with the phone, if you are not a soldier, he may want to fight you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, my point is this. We have what we call law enforcement agency that make sure that what the authorities are saying becomes a reality. Are you all listening to me? I'm looking at a young man. You have been touching your phone since. If I call your name, if I touch you, I will drive you from church. So cover your phone upside down before I call you out. Even if you are writing what I'm saying, cover your phone and look at me. Hallelujah to Jesus. And if you refuse to hear like this, you will hear another way. The other way you will hear now will clear your doubt. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, that is why there are law enforcement agencies. Why do we have them? To make sure what the authorities are saying becomes a word, a reality. But in church, it's not supposed to be like that too. That's why in church, you cannot beat somebody up. It's wrong. You cannot tell somebody, your father! It's wrong. You can't tell somebody in church, you bastard! It's wrong. Are you listening to me? Although, at times, some pastors can get angry. I've heard a pastor call somebody, you are very stupid, you are an idiot. I've heard a pastor say that before. Out of anger. And it was a legitimate reason. He was so mad. He said, God will So it's wrong. What he did is wrong. But he spoke out of anger. In fact, I've read about a pastor in scriptures that called his church foolish. What was his name? Paul. He said, oh, ye what? Foolish. Somebody said, no, he's not a pastor, he's an apostle. Okay, an apostle. I mean, that is a higher level. He said, oh, ye what? Foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? A rendition of that scripture. One of the renditions say, idiots. I think that was TNT. He said, oh, ye idiots. In other words, imagine TNT was right. Paul looked at him and said, you people are idiots. Who has bewitched you? How would that Sunday be? You know, Paul is just saying, you idiots. Who told you to do that? How will you start in the flesh and end in the spirit? All right, close your eyes and begin to pray in tongues. Everybody, look. I don't know if you want to stay in that church. You definitely want to stay. Because the Bible says, you know, sometimes the discipline of a father may not be the way you want it to be. He said, but blessed is a young man that listens to the rebuke. Firstly, he said the instruction. Secondly, he said the rebuke. Meaning sometimes correction comes as what? Rebuke. Are you listening to me? It comes as what? Stop that. Have you seen mothers talk to their child before? Or fathers? Will you stop that? especially mothers. Stop that, my friend. Is it because they hate the child? They want to correct the child. They want the child to know that what the child is doing is wrong. And of course, for a father to say, stop that, my friend, he would have said before, stop that, my child. It's not good for you. Stop licking your hand. It's not nice. Then when you keep on licking your hand, they now get brutal. Will you stop it? Did I tell you to stop or not? Then when you keep on licking deeper, will you stop that? Will not hit your hand. Why? Why did they have to go that hard? Because you are not listening. That's what happens sometimes. We're talking about wisdom. You know, the Bible speaks about the fivefold ministry. Let's go back there in Ephesians 4. And a lot of times I just wonder how people think the fivefold ministry should operate. Because I don't know if everybody here has tasted leadership position. If you are in leadership, you understand how difficult it is to lead people, except by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It is quite difficult because you are wondering what everybody is thinking. Everybody has an opinion, but God wants you to do something. That was a problem that Moses had with the children of Israel. God told Moses, do it like this, do it like that. The children of Israel said, we don't agree. Imagine a leader comes and says, God said I should do it like this. And the people say, we don't agree because they think it's his opinion. How did we know? Miriam came one time. She said, Moses has been saying this thing. I mean, the people of Israel, some of the elders, Moses has been saying this thing. Well, we don't agree. But Miriam, you have to help us. She said, no problem. Me too, I don't agree. When she dared to talk, what happened to her? There was a curse upon her life. Hallelujah to Jesus. There was. It's the truth. Because you see, I was trying to explain to some set of people. I said, when you are in leadership position, a lot of times, especially spiritual leadership, I'm not even talking about the physical. Let me use spiritual leadership. You are equipped by God before you come to that position. Or you are even called equipped in that position that you are. The equipping must just happen before or after. There's a saying that says God does not call the equipped, but he equips the call. Sometimes the call may come before the equipping. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But if you have the opportunity, get equipped. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Before the call. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was saying to them, I said, look at one time in scripture, God wanted to show the elders, put the burden of Moses and some of their abilities in the elders. And he called for how many elders? Huh? Let me see whether you did Bible school. 70 what? 72. Do you people agree? Some people say, where am I? Where will I agree from? I don't even know it. 72, isn't it? Church, answer now. Speak with faith. 72, isn't it? Even if you don't know, say yes, sir. 72, isn't it? All right. And he took from Moses' spirit and put in all of them. What happened immediately? They were charged with the spirit. They began to prophesy. They couldn't even stand the weight of what was in Moses. And now, the question is this. Moses' spirit was partitioned. God said, I want to take from you and put in them. I want to take from you and what? Put in them. Now, Moses was the only one carrying those burdens before. All of those things. And they were complaining. God removed, put in them one by one. They couldn't stand it. But Moses had it before and was given instruction based on all of those anointing. Yet they were what? Complaining. Can you see how leadership can be so boring? That you know you are so capacitated to give such an instruction, you give it, yet people can still doubt. And you are wondering, do you know how God have made us to be able to speak to us in this direction? You know, I don't know how to explain this, but one of the boring places to be in life is that you know what you can do and people doubt what you can do. That's one of the most boring and difficult places to be in life. That you know you can help people, but they cannot receive the help because of their low level of discernment. That's why the Bible says something like, a prophet cannot be honored in his what? I'm sure some of you that God has lifted in your family spiritually can relate to what I'm trying to say. That sometimes you stand up and you try to advise them in a certain way and they just remember all of your flaws. They remember that you are still last born or second born or too young. And it just shuts you up with all of those ideologies. It's quite difficult. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Moses suffered it. Anytime God speaks to Moses, there's a complaint. There's a complaint. The people were not excited about it. One or two times. The Bible calls Moses a meek man. He always keep quiet. Hallelujah to Jesus. God had to do several things to make sure they respected Moses. Several things you will read in scripture, in the story. There was one time God said he should carry them to a mountain. When he carried them, God said he will pass. He will pass him. When he passed him, then they should come to the same spot. Something like that. He will try to pass them. So that to see whether they can stand his presence. Moses stood, when God was done with him, he said, come and stay here. God wants to see you people and ask people a question. They came and stood. Then the presence of God, through the ministry of an angel, when he was coming, when they saw the way it was coming, they said, Moses, oh, tell God we don't want to meet him again. These were the same people who were complaining. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? That's why I've taught you people here. Whatever you don't know anything about, keep your mouth. Keep your mouth. Keep your mouth. Very important. David said in scripture, he said, there are some things too high for me to say. Some matters are too high. You hear that a man of God divorced his wife. You want to go and analyze it. Why will a man of God divorce his wife? What is your business? Is divorce a good thing? No. Do you know why the man of God divorced his wife? No. Why are you asking why? What would? Do you know how amoeboic you are? Amoeboic you are. To sit down and ask questions, but what would have been the obvious reason? Let's talk about it. What kind of a useless discussion is that? You want to die young? Let's talk about it. Do we find guests for Christ and Basikai? Maybe, but I don't talk anything. Meanwhile, God is watching. He has said, touch no what? Do my prophet what? Very important. Why not trying to magnify the office of a pastor? You know, I'm teaching you what? Wisdom. So that you can go far in life. So that you can match up with the greatness in your spirit. There are certain things you do that limit you in life. Not just to men of God. Don't talk about things. Don't analyze things that you know nothing about. Don't assume that you know. You hear that a man of God did something you want to analyze. Hey, no wonder he has not married. What is your business? Are you truly sure that you understand that he did it? If you are not sure, why did you analyze? Are you listening to me? God is not pleased with that character. And you limit yourself to going far with such a wrong character. Are you here tonight? He said, he himself, he gave some to be what? Apostles, somewhat, and somewhat, and what? Next part of scripture. What did he say for? He said, for the equipping of the, for the work of the, for the edifying. Now, this is more like a summary of the work of the fivefold. But if you look at it vividly, it is more ambiguous than this. For instance, 2 Timothy 3:16. So if the equipping, we're trying to explain the equipping now, right? It is more ambiguous than this word you are saying. This is more like a summary. The equipping. It is like a process, it's some set of instructions or a system to raise the saint from nothing to that perfect man God dreams about, isn't it? So there are some things that will happen. Just like if they said you were equipped to be a doctor, is it that light the way it sounds? You went to school, isn't it? How many years were you there? 7 years, 5 years, etc., isn't it? We said equipped, but it took how many years for the equipping to happen? 6 years thereabouts, isn't it? So 2 Timothy 3:16, for instance. Let's see the equipping. It said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? It's profitable for what? One is doctrine. Second is what? Third is what? Fourth is what? In righteousness. Now, when all of these things happen, what did the Bible say will happen to you? Next part of scripture. It says, that the man of God may be complete. Totally what? For every good work. Did you see that? Meaning, if the only thing you receive from the fivefold is wisdom, doctrine, just doctrine, you cannot be thoroughly equipped. We should be able to go beyond doctrine to what? Go back to 16. To reprove. Hey, you are wrong. Stop posting that kind of stuff. But, and it's not Pastor Simon now. He will pastor you through other people in your department. That thing you are doing is wrong. Why are you posting such a thing? You now say, who made you judge over me? You see? You know scriptures too. After all, Satan Mark quoted the Bible. Do you know that? It is written. He will not allow your feet to hit a stone. So sometimes when you want to quote scripture, know that the devil quoted it first. So don't think quoting scripture makes you righteous. You can be foolishly quoting scriptures. The Bible says, thou shalt not judge. That's what most foolish people know this scripture. Thou shalt not judge. The next, one of their best scripture is, before you remove the this thing in my life, remove the this one in your eye. Me, I don't even know that one again. So. Remove it. Some of them won't think this part of the Bible is, and this quote is in the Bible. Heaven to help those that help themselves. You know, some people think it's in the Bible. The Bible say, have you heard people talk like that? The Bible say, heaven will help those that help themselves. It's not in the Bible. Say, yeah, I thought it's in the Bible. Other people be like, the Bible say, drink and not be drunk. Say, it's not in the Bible. Say, hey, it's in the Bible. Say, no, it's not in the Bible. He never said, drink and not be drunk. Hallelujah. He said, drink and never be drunk. Did he say that? He said, thou shalt not drink at all. Jesus changed water into wine, brothers and sisters. I read that Jesus changed water into gold. Do you believe me? Huh? He changed water into shekpe. Do you believe that? Jesus changed water what's it called? Zazu. Do you believe that? How can he ever change water to such a thing? Imagine Jesus change water to life. You know that drink some people call life? To harp. He never did such a thing. He didn't change water to buzu. That's their shekpe in those days. Buzu. It was nice wine. You know, I told somebody, I can tell you the heart of God from what he has done yesterday. If yesterday God did something, I can tell you this is God's school of thought. Somebody said, how? I said, okay. When God gave the children of Israel manna, he said it should not reach the next day. If you observe and study how the manna was, if it had reached the next day, something would have happened. God does not want that. Because there will be more alcohol when fermentation happens. He said, so what do you mean by that? I said, if God does not want that kind of thing to be fermented, God does not like something to be fermented for us to drink. I'm hearing palm wine, palm wine, palm wine. The ambassadors of palm wine are shouting behind. Pastor, what of palm wine? The Bible says the law is in your heart. If you go and see palm wine and it sparkles and you want to shark, you are on your own. Alright? Firstly, as pastors, you don't shark palm wine in this church, whether it's good or bad. But for some of you that think palm wine is not really a bad thing, judge yourself. You see young people say, I want to clear my eye with palm wine. Immediately, just, you know, palm wine can be so catchy. Just point it, you just see it sparking. Now, it's a law in church, don't drink palm wine, okay? Our church, don't drink palm wine. Is that okay? Look at the palm wine tapas looking at me. I say, don't drink palm wine. Is that okay? Because some ladies are just like, Pastor, you don't know that, you know, test this for. Now, are you guys following me tonight? Wisdom in leadership. Very important. How God helps us to grow. Pastor is not literally the one speaking to you, but he has other sub-pastors. And sometimes you say, that thing you are doing is not right. Why are you not in Bible study? Why are you not blah, blah, blah? Why are you not doing that? Okay, a meeting is going on and you are doing this. Say, Pastor, is it that serious? Yes, it's that serious. A meeting is going, you are having a church service, you are not on site. And when they check your status, you are updating the status with other things. That moment when the service is going on is secret. You should be online, watching the service. Are you listening to me? Very important. It's the wisdom of God. There are little things you do that you think don't matter. They truly have weight in the spirit. The Bible says obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Do you know you may be a very wonderful prayer warrior in terms of how the world defines prayer warrior? And if you don't know how to talk, you are nothing before God. He did not say by their praying ability we should know them. He said by their fruits we shall what? Know them. Not by their praying ability. In fact, he called the people that knew how to pray in those days hypocrites. They were Pharisees. They will come outside, and when they see people passing, they'll be, hey, Iyege, hey, to the Lord Most High. And Jesus looked at them. He didn't hide it. He said, hypocrite, enter your room. Jesus really find trouble. A lot of trouble. I'm sure when they saw Jesus passing, they want to show him that they have more anointing. To the Lord of Elijah, to the God of Elijah. And Jesus will look up there and say, hypocrites. Hypocrites, enter your room. Now, this is your prayer now. You have received your reward. People know you can pray. Well done. When they fasted, they want to make it obvious that they were fasting. They will come to the temple looking, why are you like this? My brother, I just finished 3 days dry. And Jesus was like, you have received your reward. Because when you 3 days dry? Yes. Jesus Christ. Oh boy, you are a system. You are a system. You have received your reward. Someone who gives to the poor. Cameraman, are you ready? Mama, so what are you doing here? I'm seated here since morning. Mama, you have not eaten, yes. And people have been passing you here, Mama. Nobody gave you money. Yes, yes, my son. Mama, take 60,000. Mama, tell us how you feel. My son, now God go bless you. You see all those things she's saying? It will not work on you. Because you have received your reward. What is your reward? The word I've seen that you gave Mama money. Then when you post it most of the time, you see, pastors, this is what we are supposed to be using our tithes to do. Not. Then you think God is pleased. Wow. Add his name to the book of life. Are you here tonight? I'm teaching you all of this wisdom so that you come to that point called spiritual maturity. Huge. Beyond technons. Huge. Beyond what? Technons. He said, for as many as are led by, they are. A lot of times when you think people are small in a church, in a local church, they're actually the big people. I tell you the truth. You observe there's somebody that everybody can send. Why is that everybody likes to send the person? Because he will go. There are some that their stature alone, nobody can send them. The way they look like they cannot be sent. They have already attacked you. If you observe your HOD always like to work with a certain person, ask yourself, why not me? Why the other person? You may think, I'm enjoying my life. At least they are not sending me. They are sending the other person. You are not growing. It is proof that God can use that person they are sending. For that HOD to like to use that person, it's proof that God too can will like to use that person. If your ministry doesn't like to use you, a lot of times because they are seeing that you will not want to do it. Your unwillingness is very glaring before them. There are little things that have so much weight in the spirit. The Bible says obedience is better than what? I told you about my story. My spiritual father called me. He said, you are the greatest. I almost fell down. I was so small. And I was the last person to be ordained a minister. He said, you are the greatest. Of all my sons, I think you are the greatest. And I said, sir, why will you say such a thing? With fear and tears in my eyes. And he said to me, I know you are sure because you are very lazy. Yes, I was very lazy that time. I was the last to be ordained. I was very, very lazy. Amen? How lazy was I? Let me explain to you. There was one time they said 3 days dry fasting. I had never done it in my life. I was doing only 6 to 6. When they said 3 days dry, I was wondering if I was dead before I even started. So I dared to do it. Because everybody was doing it, I had to do it. I didn't know how to tell my mother I was fasting because in case she doesn't want to give me food, maybe I want to break and I want the food. So I just left everything to be flowing like that. They'll bring food. I'll look at it. I'll say, keep it. Then later I'll call somebody to eat. When I think about it for a long time. So I was wondering if I can survive the 3 days. I never told them I was fasting. I remember the third day. It was 12 noon, time for meeting. And I took bike. Of course, I would have not trekked that day. I saved money for bike, took bike to church. Immediately I enter, I was bent. You know, those days, it's wooden chairs we have in church. Those one you sit down, another, there's a way they arrange this thing for you to put your Bible in Orthodox churches. How many of you know those kind of? I bent down. They say, stand up. I stood up like this. One lady sat close to me with pap in cooler. Pap, hot one. She did not do 3 days dry. She did 1 day inside in 3 days. Because they were women, so they said they should do 1 day. And we were praying. I didn't know. I didn't plan to take a pap. I'm serious. You know, when they say we should pray, I was wondering if they were even serious with what they said. Can we pray? Just thank God for an hour or two before we break. I was looking at my spiritual father. I busted. He looked at me. He scattered laugh. He said, keep on praying, keep on praying. People were. The ladies were shouting, Aragata, Araka. We know why they were shouting. And and he said, in Jesus' mighty name, I shouted. The lady had gone out to check something or what. I don't know what she went out to do, but I believe maybe she was led by the Spirit. I don't know. She went out. In Jesus' name, amen. I just carried the pap. Went outside to the side. Somebody is finishing 3 days dry with a scene. To the side. I started drinking the pap. She just came. She didn't see her pap. She just rushed to me. My pap! She started crying. I just rushed her. Cover her mouth. Sorry. Don't tell her. Don't tell him anything. She said, she was going. I was begging her. So you know I didn't only drink the pap. I always say drink. She kept kuli. I took the kuli to her. Ate. I didn't only drink pap. That may be very, very sincere to you. Drank. At least I finished drinking before she reported. He said, Simon! She said, I did not know. I don't know what happened to me. He started laughing again. You carry somebody after 3 days, sir. I really didn't know when I thought. I nearly died, sir. See, I died. I died, sir. It was this pap that brought me back to life. I really died. That was the first day in my life. And I can tell you for free, it seemed like I died. If we died together with Christ. I think I have an experience of that. Because I never tried it in my whole life. But guess what? After that first trial, I became a boss in that realm. If you say 3 days dry, I'm a barber in the place. I fasted 3 days dry all my life when we're doing meeting by 12. Till I think I stopped at 300 level, just about every Thursday to Saturday. 3 days dry. And when I'm done ministering, when we're doing meeting by 12, that's when I'll go and break my fast. And I'll sleep till Sunday because I was very, very tired. Yes, I did it. Because I learned it where? At the base. Are we together? It helped me to really grow so much. Grow so much in the things of God. You can be trained. Are you listening to me? You can be trained in the things of God. Have you observed how some people are very coordinated in church and others are not? The things they say, tell others to do, some people are willingly doing it and trying to even tell others to do it. That's the problem Paul had with some people in church. He said, at this point, some of you ought to be teachers. Yet, I'm still teaching you. I have to teach you the basics of the word because you are still behaving like children. Like children. They have to force you to do one or two things. You know, such people are called mental assenters. Like Kenyon will say in his books. Mental assent. They are excited with wisdom, but wisdom has not got into their heart. It's just in their head. Are you listening to me? Little or no people understand that God, ministry is not just something you do anyhow. Ministry is a call. Not just pastor in ministry in itself is a call. You can be everywhere. And that is why when you discover the call of ministry on your life, you have to serve faithfully. Are you listening to me? Because Satan will do everything it takes to distract you. He will do it. So we must go beyond doctrine, to reproof, to correction, to instruction in righteousness. In what? Righteousness. Hallelujah to Jesus. That way, what do you become? The next part of scripture. It says, then that man of God becomes what? Thoroughly what? For every pastor observe you like talking to girls, he calls it to his office. I say, you this boy, I've observed every girl that comes to church is your friend. For a moment, then they stop being your friend. Why? So I just had this grace for new girls. You have grace for new girls. You have to stop talking to new girls in church. Are you listening to me? Yes, sir. He goes back home. Pastor embarrassed me today. Kai! What did pastor talk? He say, I like to talk to new girls. Me, we don't like girls. If your friend is sincere, you say, oh boy, you like woman. Oh, no lie. Oh. That's why you have those kind of friends. I will tell you the truth. You no like woman. Pastor, get this one. Oh. He get them well. But what would the first friend tell you? Why pastor they behave like? Why pastor go four person hand like this now? And people they there. Oh. People they hear us for outside in office. I wonder how those people go they look me now for church. Then the next Sunday come to church. The devil say, don't go. Everybody now knows in church that you like girls. You see, you were instructed. You were corrected. But Satan made you to take offense. Your HOD told you a reality. How can every new girl on Facebook be a mutual friend with you? What is the problem with your life? What is the problem? No, it's just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Every new girl that... You know, there's one time I had to report that case to one of the HODs here. Every girl that asked me on Facebook is a mutual friend with that brother in church. The first time I had no problem. The second time I had no problem. The third time I had no problem. The fourth time, when I saw the kind of person that added me, I checked the person's profile. I didn't accept. And I looked at mutual friend. I said, no. I called the HOD. I said, watch that young man. When they watched him, what I was saying was true. It was true. Do you know some people have the call of God on their life, but they're in everybody's DM right now? Huh? They truly have the call. They don't know. They have the call of God, an apostolic call. But right now, what Satan is doing to them is to pursue every fine girl on Facebook and on Instagram. Anybody they see that is close to fine. Hello, pretty damsel, how are you doing? If you check their DM, their messenger now, they've told more than 20 people they are in love. And listen, this thing is not about your face. You know, I've been a pastor for a while. Sometimes you see people look like angels. People are not a function of how they look. They are a function of how they think. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? They are a function of how they work, not how they look. I've seen quiet people that are very terrible. I've seen energetic people that are very nice. That's why I tell people. Somebody said, Pastor, is this lady I saw, but the problem is that she's too talk sometimes, and she's too kawaii. But this other one, she's so quiet. Pastor, you need to see this other one, oh, like an angel. I said, which one do you know more? He said, this quiet one, I just recently started knowing her. I will not lie. I said, what of this one that talks? Well, he said, I've known her for a long time. I said, logically speaking, marry the one you know. I said, Pastor, no, you don't understand. This one is better for ministry. I said, how? Because she's so quiet. I laughed. I said, young man, make we tell her. It's not about how quiet somebody looks. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not about quiet. The wisdom in that person's head may be wrong. I told you about train vectors. If your wisdom is wrong, your approach to life will be very, very wrong. You don't know the person. She said, celebrate grace, sir. Celebrate. They are bending and greeting for you. As you enter church, you come. Celebrate grace, apostle. The other one that talks too much, I've never said apostle, talk less of tool. They call you by your name, Oche. Oche, how are you? Say, don't you know the call of God? Say, let the call manifest now first. But now, are you not Oche? Is your name not Oche? You go back home, Satan now reminds you, that one, she's a demon sent to destroy your ministry. You see the other one that say, Apostle Oche? Apostle Oche, how are you? Apostle Oche's grit is sweeping. He says, you can't do that. You can't do that, sir, while I'm here. It's not possible. Collect broom. Oche goes back home, he can't sleep. God, what are you saying? Somebody say, but by their fruit you shall know them. I agree with you. What if somebody wanted to marry Judas because he was close to Jesus? What if somebody wanted to marry Judas because he was close to what? Jesus. Imagine. And you don't know the person is Judas is a betrayer. So why do you like Judas? One of Jesus' disciples' brother. That's why I like him. Eh? Imagine. Jesus' disciple. Oh my God. Hey, my head. Oh. And he's not just my God. He's the treasurer. Jesus trusts him. Oh. Now he didn't want Jesus' money. Hey, oh, God, not love for us. All right. Not realizing that he's about to betray Jesus. You now get into a relationship. If you truly ask God, God would have said, don't marry him because God has seen the future. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you that like structures as men, systems. Somebody who has a mind. Say, Jesus Christ, see anointing. Literal walking anointing. That some of you that have been consumed by all of those foolishness. Am I saying it's wrong to really pray like that? No. But if somebody wants to woo you, you know, some young brothers have married like that way. You are there singing for the lady. They'll just come and say, make him finish singing. I go, who am I praying now? We'll go see who go win today. You have done all I want to say. I want to love you. They'll carry mic. They are mysteries and they are potters. And men that ascend into these potters are called the immortals. They have advantage over men that only sing songs. We're so supposed to go beyond singing to... The brother will know that everything is finished. Lift your voice, everybody, and don't be a weak man. Don't only be a singer. Lift your voice and pray. Pray. La gua 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 pe ko ko ko. These are men that can cover women. These are men that can move nations. The guy has married. He knows. After service, he will say, I see your family. And some people say, maybe somebody can be, it's when somebody is wrong, there is a fake person. You don't know the prophetic. It's somebody that can pray, can see. You just enter your DM now and say, I see that you guys are six in your family. You say, yes, sir. You, what do you know? I want to say, I want to love you. They are giving prophecies to somebody you are crushing on. Oh my God. Can I want to say, deliver somebody? Mm-mm. Now, I hope it's not Sonny I'm talking to. Sonny, it's not you I'm talking to. Don't think I'm just using that song because I heard it today. He had said all of these things. Seen your father's problem. Seen that you people are on a... There's somebody in the hospital right now. So say yes. Hey, she calls you man of God. That man of God, help our family. Where is your house in Abuja? I am moving straight along Garki. And I say road by the right. Describes everything. And when this guy prays, I finish everything, then later he tells you, sister, I've been praying, and the Lord has been forcing me to say this. I've been wondering whether I should say this, because I'm not prepared at all, but God is forcing me. You know, I heard somebody say God is forcing him before. He said, the Holy Spirit forced me to enter a relationship, and I told God I'm not ready. He said, you must enter. I told him, God is happy when you say you don't want marry, that you are saying you enter. If you tell God I don't want to marry, God will be like, hey, thank you. He's happy. He wants eunuchs. I'm not saying he will not use you when you marry, but he's more glad if you become and become. Did God stop Paul? When Paul said, God was just excited. He started using him everywhere. Everywhere married people cannot go, he was sending Paul. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I told him God doesn't do that. And the young man can use that to cajole a sister. It happens. Where I grew up, where I've seen these kind of things. The next time, because you see, there's a difference between giftings and the actual you as a Christian. Alright? You can have a perfect gift and not be perfect. It is very possible that your gift is perfect and you are not perfect as a human being. You don't get what I'm trying to explain, isn't it?
And that's why Paul said, go beyond giftings to a more excellent way. In 1 Corinthians 12 towards 1 Corinthians 13. He said, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He said, but I'll show you a more excellent way. And now if you look at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13, he's comparing giftings and the perfect way, the more excellent way. He said, if you pray of in tongues of men and of what? The gift of diverse tongues. He said, and you have no what? Love. You are. So you see, he's comparing giftings and the more excellent way. It is possible that you just major on giftings and not embrace the more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? Embracing your place in Christ fully. The Bible says you are complete in Christ, not lacking anything. In Christ Jesus, the purpose of the gifting is satisfied. Is satisfied. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But if you carry giftings alone and leave Jesus Christ, you'll be limited. You may see your giftings acting up so perfectly, but your life is not perfect. You still are finding that desire to want to fornicate, to be immoral, to be a thief. So you observe that the prophet was prophesying so well, all of a sudden, he made somebody pregnant. Now you would think it's a joke, but truly, the prophet made somebody pregnant. Some of you have heard those kind of news. And especially with the prophetic. That's why most people don't trust prophets. And now if you check it, you see, is the prophet using charm? He was not using charm. He was actually seeing the right way. But he thought that because his gift was perfect, then he is perfect automatically. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? The word of God is what makes you perfect, not the giftings in you. Get that. You may be somebody that knows how to speak, public speaking. But if you don't understand your place in Christ, you will make people so glad that about your gift and etc. Yet you act up in such a way that they'll be disappointed at everything you have on your inside one day. You just disgrace yourself. That's why you must go beyond your gifting. Imagine you are a lady, you know how to sing. You are a wonderful worshipper because of your voice. And one day they hear that you are pregnant, God forbid. And it's glaring before everybody. Your stomach is big. Poof. Everybody is seeing your stomach. And you are not married. What will people think? They'll start, actually they worship all these hypocrites. That's the next thing you hear. I remember in BSU there was a lady, she was doing evangelism. And all of a sudden she became pregnant. And she became mocking stuff. When they told me the story, I couldn't mock her. There was no space in my heart to mock her. Oh, there, Jesus, she's pregnant. The person that was saying it was even laughing. I just became quite sober. Why? I could relate. Like, wow, what really happened to this lady? I went back home. I was thinking all day. What happened? You see, I told you before, desire without knowledge can lead to destruction. Desire without knowledge can lead to what? Destruction. All right? The Bible says God works in us both to will and the doing of his word. And the Bible likens God working in us to doing of his work to we obeying his word. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. Watch carefully what I'm trying to say. If you love me, you will keep my commandment, isn't it? Listen carefully. He works in us both to will and the doing of his good pleasure. In other words, you cannot keep his commandment, except he has worked in you to keep his commandment. And that's why the Bible says we cannot love him. What is love? Keeping his commandment. Except he has first what? Loved us. So his love on us is what works us as people that can love him back by keeping his commandment. Or through keeping his commandment. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So if you just have a desire, Lord, I want to keep your word. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live for you all the days of my life. And you cry. It's beautiful. But desire alone cannot get the job done. You must understand the truth of God's word. That we can only love him because he has first what? Loved us. Peter said, I can't deny you. I will stand for you. Nobody will touch you. Who goes anybody? What happened to Peter? Before the cock, what? He denied Jesus how many times? How many times? And when he remembered the words of Jesus, he was ashamed of himself. He started crying. It's not about desire, emotions. I will not. Jesus, I will stand for you. And of course, Jesus was wondering, who can stand for me when I have not revealed myself on the cross? Because you can only love me because I have first what? loved you. Jesus was not dead, buried, and resurrected. Nobody can boast of their love for God at that time. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? And that is why Paul, at the understanding of this mystery, will say to everybody, I desire amongst you to know nothing but Christ and Him being what? Crucified. It is a knowledge of this wisdom that will bring about the new birth in your life. Not just desire. Lord, I desire to live for you. I'll go to nations. Calm down. You want to act like a lion for God. We understand the righteous are as bold as a lion. But remember, it took the nature of the lamb to bring the victory. The Bible calls him the lion, yet the Bible calls him what? The lamb. And how did he win for us? Through that nature of the lamb. The lamb that takes away the sin of the whole world. You can't see a lion and admire a lamb. In fact, a dead lamb. That's why the message of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Foolishness to them that the wisdom of this world have taken over their mind. It is foolishness to them. He said, if our message is foolish to anybody, Paul speaking, he said, then they are perishing. He said, they are perishing. Say, Jesus has done it for you. Your sins are forgiven. You have a new nature. You are a new creation. They say, all these Christocentric people, all these new creation people, we have tried it before. It did not work. Listen, brother, or pastor, or apostle, you've not tried it before. You only dared to try. You didn't try. If you truly encounter the new creation life of God, your life will be totally changed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know why we hit against these things? I heard somebody one time, he said, this Christocentric gospel, we started it. And I looked at him, you didn't start it. The people that started it in scripture did not give this wrong testimony you are giving. Paul started it. God started it through Paul. He didn't give a wrong testimony. He spoke rightly about it. He said, if anybody be in Christ, they what? All things. And here is somebody representing God saying that, listen, even if you are born again, you can still walk in sin. No, Paul said, if you are born again, you are a new creation. All things are gone. All things are gone. Somebody say, but is it that easy? Just say, I'm born again, I receive you, Lord, as my personal Lord and Savior, then I'm a new creation. No, that's not everything to it. Listen carefully. That's more like a summary to everything. If anybody be in Christ, so you must understand Christ to be in Christ. Let me explain it like that. If you don't have the knowledge of Christ, then you cannot be in Christ. Alright? It is the knowledge of Christ that ushers you into the realities of Christ. What we said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is more like a summary of everything. That if you understand Christ, you are truly a new creation. And all things are gone. So how do you become a new creation? By understanding Christ. And that is why the Bible says we've been begotten by the what? Incorruptible seed of what? God's word. It didn't just stop there. That is why mind renewal is very important. Yes, you just told us you are born again. We welcomed you from Egypt. But we are not in the promised land yet. We are in the wilderness where the mind renewal has to happen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Potentially you own the promised land, but you can't get into the promised land with this mindset. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? God told the children of Israel, that land is your own. It's flowing with milk and honey. But were they able to enter? But who owns it? From God's perspective, who owns it? The children of Israel. Not the people staying there. The children of Israel own that land. But their mindset were not changed to receive what God has prepared for them. Paul told us in the book of Hebrews, he said they did not miss the word of God with faith. That is why they did not enter into the promise. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And what does it mean to mix the word with faith? If you must walk in faith, you must deny some facts in life. The 10 spies came back with truths, obvious truths. Alright? We are as grasshoppers before them. And God said through Paul, he said they did not mix the word of God with faith. In other words, God was not expecting them to say we are as grasshoppers. That was a reality. Oh, sons of Anak, giant. Indeed, if you wait, the children of Israel has, but God said that was not faith speaking. Faith does not speak facts. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Abraham did not speak facts to Sarah. The Bible said, obviously, Sarah was too old to conceive. She has passed what? Menopause. But Abraham did not say, it is not possible. You are too old. Let's not waste our time having faith. Bible says Abraham, against all hopes, had faith. Against all hopes. All hopes. Meaning he looked at the situation. There is no hope for a baby to come. Menopause, this one, that one, me too, I'm old. But against all hopes, he had faith. What that scripture means is not full of the futuristic. Alright? Listen to what that scripture means. Can I have your pen? Anybody here? Give me your pen. This can write something, isn't it? Why am I hoping that I can sign your papers? Because I have a biro. Isn't it? What if I don't have a biro? Why, when I tell you bring your paper, let me sign it, and you don't have a biro, how do we get your paper signed? Is there any hope for your paper to be signed? So that's the hope we're talking about there. Surety. Possibility. There was no possibility for a baby to come. Against all of these possibilities, he had faith. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you now? Are you getting confused? Are you confused at all? You look at your life now, what is the proof that you enter into what God has said? No proof. No evidence. You are just there and God said, it's going to get it done. Just like Isaac, famine everywhere. God has spoken over Abraham, and to him, Abraham promised him that what God has said will come to pass. All of a sudden, even Abraham's land, whew, went to another land. Somehow he remembered what God said about his father Abraham. The power of the blessing came upon him. He said, I have to do something. Suddenly, as he was pressing, an instruction came forth. So, normally nobody should sow in that land. It's famine. The ground is hard. He sowed. I'm very sure when he sowed, rain had to fall because he sowed. Do you understand? I'm trying to explain to you. Are you here? Don't leave me. Just be close. Catch what I'm trying to explain. You know, I use David to explain this in scriptures. David, alright, was standing before Goliath. Follow me carefully, please. And suddenly, he was speaking to Goliath based on the covenant of the old. I said this several times here. He said, today, the Lord has given me you, Goliath. I will not just only kill you. My God. He said, I'll pluck off your head and I'll feed to the birds of heaven. That's what he told Goliath. Isn't it? Now, while David was speaking, was there money? Let me not use money, sorry, because some of us, that's what the problem is. Was there cutlass on his end? You know, yesterday I said in a leadership meeting that if I catch anybody sleeping, Jerome, did you write that thing? Did you write it? Let me see it. Bring it. If we catch anybody sleeping, this is what will happen. Some of you sleeping. Can you read? What? I was caught sleeping in church. Please keep it for me here. And we'll snap. I said, I promised them a shoot. Me and them will. Then you'll climb up here. We'll continue the parade. Yeah. Simple thing. You were caught sleeping in church. You did not kill anybody. All right. Perfect. Where was I? If you want to sleep, there is no reason not to sleep. Where was I? Please, some of you don't, you can continue sleeping. Huh? David and Goliath. Sword! No sword! Yet he said, you Goliath! I'll pluck off your head. What was on David's head? Catapult. Sorry, was it catapult? Huh? Lesser than catapult. How many of you can use that thing and fight anywhere in this world? If they will not beat you. He carried it. He think he shouldn't play. But do you know that thing he carried? And has mastered the use, killed Goliath. Why? The anointing was upon it. And you know, I like how a man of God put it. He said, the first thing that killed Goliath was not even, he said it was words. Because the guy looked small, but what he said was too powerful. You are standing before a giant of giants. Looking so small. I'll pluck off your head. Do you now see why God said he should be king? Anybody that God said, I choose you as a leader. There's something that person is doing that you don't know about. He has been winning in the secret place. You don't know about it. Do you know David had been killing bears and lions? Nobody knew about it, but God knows. That's why sometimes when God selects leaders, some of you are wondering, why that person? There's something that person has been doing in the secret place. When nobody is praying, he's doing it. When nobody is doing, he's doing it. When he has little, he can still give. And nobody knows. In fact, it may shock you to realize that that person gave his best seed that he has ever given was 2,000. 2,000 naira. You have given 30,000. You are a big boy. You've given hundreds of thousands. But the person gave 2,000. And you know why God held him so precious? That was his best. He still had the impetus to give. And nobody saw. Then suddenly the leader is praying and he's seen a picture of a young man. God is saying that guy is supposed to be a leader. And even the leader don't know why that guy should be a leader. You know, sometimes I've argued anointing people, pastors. I've argued it to myself. I come, even on the day of anointing them, I'm wondering, do I know what I'm really doing? And after a while, I look at the people and I realize why I had to do that. It's obvious to me now. Because he that seeth in the secret shall what? Suddenly, Goliath was on the ground. He took Goliath's sword and what? Oh, I like how a pastor friend puts it. He said, what you need is in the fear. Approach it. Approach that fear. That mountain. Go there. You will find what you need there. All the things you are thinking you don't have, they are there waiting for you. Just break that wall of fear, that limitation. Get into it. Take bold step of faith. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. So you must go beyond desire to understanding the wisdom of God. You know, the Bible says something beautiful in Matthew 16 down to verse 18. It says, you are Peter, but upon this revelation, Christ, I will build my. And when I build my church on Christ, the gate of hell will not what? So why would the gate of hell not prevail? Because Peter prayed so much yet? Huh? Because Peter fasted so much yet? Because Peter gave so much yet? Because Peter dressed so fine or cried so fine or pleaded with God so much? But because he was where? On the Christ. The church was on the Christ. That's why God made that promise. He said, if you're on the Christ, this is the aftermath. This is the experience that should follow. The gate of hell will not prevail. Meaning, if you want the gate of hell not to prevail in your life, understand Christ Jesus. Understand your place in Christ Jesus. Not shouting yet. Now listen, there are a lot of information that people are tempted to want to pursue in the church. For instance, if you think you have a leadership call, the Lord is calling you into leadership. Listen, we may have, is it John Maxwell that called this man? John Maxwell, right? You may want to read books on leadership by John Maxwell. But listen, the danger with these things is, this information is this. Some of these people, if they are not really Christians, if they are not really into ministry, they may not really understand how to explain leadership to you in light of kingdom. Get what I'm trying to explain a little, quite to some extent. Now, if you think your leadership is within the body of Christ, within kingdom and etc., I think you should now listen to people that are walking with the body of Christ fully into ministry, writing books on leadership. People like Kenneth Hagin. They will be they'll be the best people to teach on leadership. You see, Pastor, what of John? It's not like he's not a good teacher. Alright? He teaches leadership covering every area. And all of the wisdom you learn there, some of them you cannot apply them in a local church. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Because he teaches leadership as a whole. Leadership for life as a whole, which is beautiful. But some of them you cannot apply them in a local church. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you getting confused? You shouldn't. So if you are looking for wisdom in a certain area, cryptocurrency, leadership, blah, 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 you can get those wisdom, no problem. But when you are done getting it, understand that the number one wisdom you should have had is your knowledge. I mean, the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. That's what will make you to become an effective leader tomorrow with the materials you read. Because if you don't know your place in Christ, you can be a good leader in terms of the information you learned and still be sleeping around with people that are under you. It's very, very possible. You can do all the public speaking, but you are struggling with a secret sin that God from heaven cannot use you to do mighty things on the earth. So you see, you know, one time I was talking to a dear brother. I said, you want to be great in life in terms of your business, isn't it? I said, I think, even if you are doing this, pursuing these things you are pursuing, listen to new creation realities. Get tapes on new creation realities and listen to them. They will boost your faith. Because faith cometh by hearing. Listen, no matter how you work hard, if you don't have faith, you will think all your money should come by working hard. You may not understand what I'm trying to explain to you, but I know what I'm saying. There are some people that believe, you know, there's a way you understand these things about success and etc. that you leave God outside the equation. It's that you don't want to bring God. God now becomes like a limitation in the equation. Like one time I saw something. It says, they say, what is the secret of success? After the guy finished the speech, I went and browsed about it. He's an atheist, but he sounds like a lot of Christians. A lot of them. What did he say? He said, the secret of success is a loop of trying again till it works. If you fail, try again. You fail, try again. You fail, keep trying. You fail again, try. You fail, keep trying. When it works, finish. So I said, this is what a lot of people like to hear. Keep trying, keep trying. You fail, try, try, try. But what did the Bible say about you? As a Christian, listen, if you know God's will for your life, you will not be trying, 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 and trying. You will know what to try and what not to try. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Because God doesn't want you to fail. And of course, if you know that God wants you to be in this sector of life, very important. How you get successful there is not by failing, rising, failing. No, it's by speaking words. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have to speak words. Speak words. Make declaration of faith. You have a business. You don't say, my business will fail. I'll try another one. You're not watching somebody's testimony. He said, I tried like 5 business before the 6th one started working. No, you are not that kind of person. You are not that blind. Listen to me. I'm not trying to mock that person, but you are not that blind. You are born again. Your spirit can perceive what you are supposed to do. You're about to delve into something. Your spirit says, don't go there. Don't go there. Are you all listening to me? It's not a loop of trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing. No. Nobody's life is a prototype for how you should live your life. The word of God is. Are you all listening to me tonight? Do you all understand what I'm trying to say tonight? So you must go beyond desire. You must go beyond desire. Stay so much with the word. Even if you sinned, stay with the word of God. It's not a popular opinion, but I know what I'm telling you. Stay with the word. You will sin again, still stay with the word. If staying with the word is not dangerous for Satan, why do you think anytime you sin, he wants you far from the word of God? He knows what the word of God will do even in your sin. You feel like you have still made a mistake, go back to the word. Don't be scared of praying in the morning. Still pray. Listen to the sermon. Keep on doing it. I told you a testimony of somebody in Kaduna that was a chain smoker. And while he was giving his testimony, what if Park Chris Devon? I'm sure some of you know about Park Chris Devon. You know he was into drugs? He shared the testimony in one of the Sun Talks. He said he was into drugs. What saved him? The popular scripture many people know. If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. He said he was taking that thing. He heard that scripture. He looked at it. He kept on taking and trying to understand it while he's taking it. He said, can God explain to you why you are shaking something? Yes, he can explain to you. If a donkey can speak, he can speak to that your brain. While it's high. If he can speak to a donkey, he can speak through you too. He said he was buzzing the thing and looking at the scripture to understand it. If anybody be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are gone. And when the scripture hit him, he couldn't help. If anybody be new creation, is it true? He was asking people, is this really true?
If I enter Christ, I'll be new. They say yes. He said, that's how his life changed. When he caught that revelation. So he said, but I've been reading that thing. It has been probably an information to you, not revelation. How does it grow from being information to revelation? Go back home again and hear it. Look at it very well and try to understand it. You and God alone. Then the Spirit will enter into the equation. You know, if it is when you are trying to understand something that you steer the Holy Ghost to help you understand. It is when you want to start praying, when you have a desire to pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Labraga, as you start praying, then He helps you pray. He can't just wake you up from your bed and put tongues in your mouth and be doing, your mouth is not moving, No! You must have a desire for it first. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Then He helps you complete it. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So go beyond desire. Wisdom is the principal thing. The Bible said, in all of your gettings, get wisdom. Are you here tonight? So without the wisdom of God, a lot of factors, in fact, you will suffer in life. You will just be, all of this testimony of men will become your testimony. The wisdom of God makes life very, very easy and smooth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And even though you feel like your promised land has a lot of anarchs there, understand that it is still your promised land. Huh? Promised land with anarchs is still your promised land. Imagine you are in the days of the children of Israel in the wilderness, and God said, that's your land, and you go and look at it, too big, blah, blah, blah. But God said, that's your own. Now, that brings to mind how God thinks. Meaning, if God tells you something, if God gives you a vision, you may not even believe it yourself. Alright? But He has given us the right to think far, big, and etc. He said, whatever is good, think of it. Whatever is of good report, think of it. Meaning, you can create very wonderful vision inspired by the Word of God. You can think of businesses that nobody has ever done. And you can get it done. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, as I'm talking now, you may doubt yourself, but it's supposed to work according to the Word of God. Think big, as far as your eyes can see. But what's the first thing He told Abraham? He said, come out from your tent. Come out from your tent. Come out from your tent. So if you don't come out from your tent, you know, some of us are settling down for mediocrity. You are working, probably they pay you 40,000. You are very comfortable. How do I know you are comfortable? You have not made a new research in a field that pays people 800,000. All you are doing is trying to plan your life around the 40,000. The only plan we see in your life is to how to use the 40,000. If we check your archives, if we check your drawer where you keep your papers, we will not find any plan on how to grow beyond 40,000 to probably $40 or something. You are still in that 40,000. I'll give my wife 10,000. I'll give my son 5,000. I'll give. You are planning with the 40,000. What if we see you learning something that when we check on the internet, it has a probability of making you a millionaire? While you are earning the 40, you did not stop the job. I did not say you should stop. You are learning something while you are. He said, though your beginning is small, he said, your later end will what? Meaning God does not want you to start smaller and be small all your life. And I said something one time, I think last Sunday. He said, weeping may endure for a night, one night. He said, but joy comes what? Joy is supposed to be longer than weeping. You are not supposed to suffer for a long time, for a night. Meaning we liken your days of suffering to one night in the spirit. That's what God is saying. Meaning weeping should be a short period of time. A very short period of time compared to how much you should enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy your life. I hope you know that. He said, with good things will I satisfy your mouth. Not bad things. Meaning if you are eating bad food, God wants you to eat good food. So I only eat good food in the name of Jesus. I know it's very difficult to declare. Say, I only eat good food in the name of Jesus. Think about it. Weeping may endure for what? Joy comes what? And sometimes practice these things. Go back home, practice good life. Say, egg, 250, are they mad? Still buy it.
Buy it. Cook the rice. Put the cabbage. Put the cream. Snap and show us on WhatsApp. I'm enjoying the good. If I snap, they're not going to send me money for school. Snap. There's what we call the spirit of favor. That's what makes people to favor you. It's not your pity life. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
hallelujah to Jesus. All right. I think I've reached the 40 minutes, right? Huh? Have I reached the 40 minutes? Year two? Okay, year two. Have I reached the 40 minutes? Should I continue? Should I continue? As the Spirit leads. If it's by the Spirit lead. It's tomorrow we'll leave here. Because I want to, my spirit is still, you know, you people have problems. The Spirit of God is angry. He wants to be pouring the wisdom. If I haven't turned here and faced some people's problems, the Holy Spirit will not stop preaching. The prophet, that one is stubborn. Preach something around fruit of the Spirit. Pastor, that one, he like money too much. Preach something around Akagom. Prophet, that one, you know, sometimes when we teach God's word, we're teaching prophetically. You know, sometimes I teach and I just catch something in my heart about somebody. You know, I just feel it. I remember if you have observed that when I come towards your direction, I talk your problem. It's not looking as if, I know you don't want to raise your hand. It's not looking as if we planned it in. And somebody told prophet, I know. My HOD told him. I don't have time to sit with your HODs and discuss your problem. They report you to me if you have a problem. That is, if the problem is too much. Nobody sits in my meeting because I don't even finish very early. We leave here on Saturdays by 10 p.m., sometimes 11 p.m. All I'm doing is talking. They are listening. Amen? So why would I not? Benjamin was so stubborn. Okay, let's analyze Benjamin. Church, put him in the middle. What do you think is wrong with Benjamin? Blah, 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 blah. No. Benjamin, what then did you do? Remove him from the group. Put him in the group. Amen? So sometimes if you see me do like that, know that it's the Holy Spirit. I had somebody one time in church say, they told me about him. The person was angry. Said, I came towards his direction and I just spoke everything they told me. That he was so embarrassed. So when they were telling me, I was so shocked. They call me a prophet. And I come close to you and I'm preaching your problem. Then he said they told me. Yes, they told me. Because you cannot lie to God. The Bible said before him everything is laid. While you are sinning the sin and talking the talk and doing all the things, he's looking at you like this. Then that ability he used to look, he puts it in the prophet. The prophet too is seeing the pictures. You know, one time I was telling my mate, I said, anytime I talk sometimes, I feel like, I said, you have to understand me. I was telling him, I said, you have to understand me. Because sometimes when I make suggestion, I'm saying what I'm saying. And a lot of times at the end, it's exactly as I said it. You know, sometimes I'm careful not to sound like I'm being judgmental. You see me just look at somebody and I say something, say, Pastor Simon, but you're not sure. At the end of it, Pastor Simon, that's what you said. Because you will not even know how to switch, you know, manage the switch. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you just switch and you are saying, talking about somebody's life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So that's one of the blessings of pastoring. Sometimes, not even as a prophet, even if the person is not a prophet, if he's a pastor, there's a prophetic covering when you teach the word of God. There's an apostolic covering when you teach the word of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You begin to say things in some people's direction. In fact, you should be shocked that the prophet did not talk in your direction. Because if God is alive in that service, they should talk in your direction. And that's why the Bible says, when you hear the word, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. A man of God said this in Abuja before we pray. He said, a lot of times, don't try to remove yourself from the picture. You are not that important. Let me explain to you what I mean. The Bible says, don't see yourself beyond how you ought to see yourself. Sometimes you take yourself so high, too much, that anything you hear, you think is about you. Have you seen people like that? Yes. Now me, did they talk about me? Really look at the people that are talking about you. Some of them, the last thing on their mind is you. So, it is a sense of pride that makes people to always think when people talk, they even talk about them. It's pride. It's called the pride of life. Just go and face your life. A lot of times people don't even care whether you are existing. Face your life. Are you listening to me? Live your life. Enjoy your life. The Bible says, do not be busybodies. It says, mind your business. Live your life. You know, if you learn to live your life quietly, minding your business, you enjoy a lot of glory in this world. I hope you know that. You will make a lot of progress. A lot. You'll be amazed. Things that you're not supposed to talk about, I've taught you in church, don't talk about it. There's a slogan we used to have, anointing matter. My heart no day. Remember I taught you that before? Anointing matter. Anointing matter. Analyze us. Anointing matter. Okay. There are some matters that are so what? Bow your heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom that we have received tonight. We know that by this wisdom, our lives will never remain the same. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank him for the wisdom. Thank him for the wisdom. Thank him. Thank him for how that this wisdom will cause a new day in your life. Thank him for how that this wisdom will enter into every area of your life that needs a touch of God and get the problem solved. Thank him for how that you use this wisdom from henceforth to view life and win in life. Be unto me according to your word. According to your promises, I can stand secure. Have upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O God, be unto me. Be it unto me, according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Have upon my heart the truth that makes me free, according to your word, O God. Be it unto me. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impact. Ancient word, the ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come all at the ancient word. We have come, we have come, we don't. Oh, let the ancient world. Hallelujah.
I am
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.